But I think like some churches, they're like, oh, we'll just rebrand, take a couple weeks. And
take a couple, weeks.
Hey, we need to talk.
Hey guys, I am sitting here with Garrett, AC, and Tika. And I want to talk about branding, messaging in the church. I want to lean into that because a lot of churches right now are kind of getting to that place where they're going, we want to rebrand. And they start to think like logo, yeah, colors, like, oh, we need new colors, we need a new brand. But that's not what it is. So I want to talk about that a little bit more. Tika, you're like our go-to on the team when it comes to branding, when it comes to messaging. Talk about branding a little bit for us.
Yeah, so with branding, like, it really is who your church is, right? Like, it's more than the colors, it's more than the fonts, it's more than the logos. Those things are super important. It's kind of, those are like kind of like the clothes we wear.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes you have to dig deeper and what's in the DNA, what's in the church's DNA. So like, what values do you have? What's your church's mission? Like, what's the characteristics of your church? And pulling that into your branding, I think, is so important. I've seen so many churches try to copy branding from other churches to just be like trendy or thinking that's how, you know, that's the kind of church they should be, instead of internally looking at who they actually are at the core and then just letting their branding reflect that out to the world.
What would that look like, though? Imagine a non-creative person is like, how does my brand reflect sharing the gospel in my community?
Oh, just words and really diving into that mission and values that organization has. Really, I mean, can speak to, what are you, a maximalist church where branding needs to be bombastic? Are you going to have culturally? Are you a Hispanic church, a Japanese church, a Korean church? Are you a multicultural church? What part of town? Are you a neighborhood church or a city church? All these things really resonate with branding and positioning. And they really matter from a macro and a micro scale.
Yeah, I think of like my mom's church. They're a more contemporary Mennonite church in like southern Pennsylvania. And so I think if they were to come out with this like big, bright, loud branding, that's not who they are, I think that would actually make some people upset.
Yeah.
Be like, that this isn't us. Like, this isn't authentic to like who we are. They're definitely more like laid back, calm. And I recently redid their branding. Well, I guess it wasn't that recent, but a few years ago. And we definitely leaned more into that like calm kind of vibe with them.
Yeah.
And
like, I'm guessing minimalist.
Yeah, minimalist.
Like clean.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Lights of negative space.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's really a vibe right now,
it
for
is.
Sure.
Yeah.
What would you guys say is like kind of the top, I'll say one, but there's probably two, three, or four things that churches need to think about when they're thinking about branding or lean into if they're like, yeah, it's time for us to rebrand. What's kind of those like key priorities to really lean into on that side of things?
I mean, I know it said it's more than colors and fonts, but like those things are such easy things to look into and change. I mean, it is the visual. So maybe you have like an okay color palette. Maybe you just add like one more that's like a really good pop of color. Like it doesn't have to be super complicated if, you know, if you don't have the resources to like go and all in and repeat it.
I mean, yeah, to that point, there's no real truth saying, or like, you don't know that you're going to excavate this complete new identity from a church based on, you know, their 3 to 5 year trajectory, you know what I'm saying? It could be like just doing more of the same of what God has been faithful in over these last 100 years. We just kind of want to continue in that tradition. And so in that, like, well, maybe look through the archives. Maybe something worked in the 40s that felt very resonant to this church, and they still have a lot of pews, and they don't have a lot of money towards design changes. And so what does it look like to kind of return to that design template, but sort of modernen up it a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And then it still kind of feels fresh, feels new, but maintains the culture of that body, of that church.
I love that because it's not like, we need to go in and like redo everything. Like, you know, take one from Instagram or Nike or any of those. Like the brand, the logo, the emblem, if you would, stays the same. They just have refreshed it in a way, in a different way. You know, if you look at when Instagram started to where Instagram is today, you still got that box with the little circle in it, but it maybe the box like was maybe more square and now it's rounded edge. There's like color to it now, whereas it was maybe black and white. It's just little elements that freshen it up. And I love that that idea. It's not like every church doesn't need to go out and just recreate the wheel, but maybe take what you have or take what's there in front of you and freshen it up. I like that.
I love that, pulling on your own history of your church. Yeah. We are, the church where I primarily serve, had this idea of, which you and I have seen one time, this like freestanding coffee shop, like a teardrop trailer or like a camper or whatever. And I was like, the church we're at used to be a resort and there used to be these bungalows where people would stay. I was like, no, it needs to be a bungalow coffee shop. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, we need to go back to the archives, look at the photos and design the freestanding coffee shop to look like one of the bungalows that was here like 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, that fits, you know.
That fits, yeah.
And like, you also don't want to you don't want to be changing your brand too much all the time, because consistency builds trust. Like, brand recognition builds trust. Like, if we were constantly changing our brand every year, no one would know who we are at all. And also, like, people like stability. And so, like, again, like, those tiny, tiny changes are great, but, like, a big rebrand would be wild unless...
You know, I think of two major brands that recently went back to their history. Yeah. I think about Pizza Hut, and I think about Burger King. Yeah. Burger King had, you know, they were always red with, you know, those orange, you know, just, like, this funky sort of font, and then, you know, and then they went completely to the other side of the pendulum, where it was like purple and, you know, it grays, and you know, they're trying to go for this postmodern thing, and now they've returned. And then Pizza Hut, you know, we always knew them for these modular buildings across the country, where it was like the Pizza Hut buffet, where the roof was so it was so emblematic of like this experience that we're gonna have at Pizza Hut. And then they went away from that, and now they've returned to it. And so it's interesting, like, just pulling on your own history, saying, like, maybe that actually did work, and it really did feel what the vibe was. Because if you change it too much, then people are just like, what is this? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what am I looking at?
Yeah, I feel like there was a car company that
Kia
did that. Yeah. They went, like, one way, and everyone was like, no. Yeah. Like, you bring it back, because everyone's like, this isn't who you are. And again, it comes back to, like, branding is your core, it's your DNA, and that's so important.
I was gonna say, now on the other side, you have those churches. We have one that we've been working with that hasn't changed their brand. They haven't redone anything in like 20 years, 25 years, something like that. And the brand is aged out. Yeah. It is just flat. It is lifeless. It needs to be kind of refreshed. So I guess, like, is there a recommendation?
Well, has there been a change of leadership there over the last 20 years?
There was within that time.
And so I'm sure that leadership has a new trajectory or they, new plan. They should, new, right? New dreams.
Well, one of the things that maybe, Tika, you can, I think churches underestimate the scope of the project. And this church had an idea. I think they were like, this is a big project, and they didn't want to do it. But I think, like, some churches, they're like, oh, we'll just rebrand, take a couple weeks. And
take a couple weeks.
If a church said, like, if someone said they wanted to rebrand in a year, I'd be like, that's probably realistic.
Yeah.
What do you think about, like, the scope of a rebrand project? Like, this church we're working with, 25-year logo, like, what would it look like when they begin that process?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just, like, first of all, you need to sit down with them and just figure out, like, who they are. Like, who are you? What's important to you? Like, who is your demographic? Who's the demographic that you're trying to reach? Because that's important too, right? Like, we all know that, like, churches have people that they're trying to reach. So, like, we need to make sure, like, our branding and everything matches that. Get a feel for them, obviously. I think bringing in, like, good graphic designers to do those logos, people who have really good eye for, you know, color and font, and that those things represent who that church is, but they also need to understand, like, the values and the vision of the church. But, like, you can create a brand guide you know, easy, but like it's the implementing it into every single aspect of the church's life that takes a long time.
I would say that requires more than just graphic design. That requires art direction.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, it's now thematic upon the overarching sort of like, how does this affect every, you know, touch point, every channel, every communication channel that we hit, you know, from TikTok all the way to the MailChimp, right, sort of all the way to the Sunday graphics. You know, are we gonna have a lot of color? Or are we gonna be minimal? Mm-hmm. All these things matter. Mm-hmm. And if you're not really able to justify every choice, then it'll just sort of fall flat.
The message of the church today is it's really interesting because I know as we talk to churches, a lot of them are really kind of lost. They don't know what their voice is. And with Church Communications Group, we're very focused on clarity, confidence, and connection. Yeah. But clarity in your messaging, clarity in who you are, what you're about, like who is it when somebody walks into your church, what are they experiencing? Who are they really getting? Clarity from the stage, those kinds of things. Do you guys have you experienced with any churches that you're like, I see, like, you know, this church is who they are, you know what they're about, you know that they say who they are. Like, have you had that kind of clarity in a church brand before?
I think so. The church I used to work with did such a good job with DNA and vision through, and not just from the creative standpoint, like not even just from the stage, like all the way to the greeters, to like the parking lot. But that had a lot to do with the staff and the leadership structure and like the training that the volunteers got, how we spoke to each other, how the pastor shared vision, how the leaders shared vision. And it just kind of got really into like the DNA of people. And once they started serving, they realized like, this is who we are. And they really were in it for the vision and the mission. But again, like, I think it has a lot to do with like, I like to say like, there is a church for everyone, but not every church needs to be for every person. And because you can't be, like, you absolutely cannot be. So you need to be, do what you believe is your mission, and the people who also are gonna like believe in that are gonna kind of come and feel at home in that.
That's so hard to implement, though, and for
people
to understand that. You know, it's like, we think of Paul talking about, I become all things to all people. Yeah. You know, and every church wants to do that, but I feel like in the body of Christ, you know, some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are eyes, some of us are noses. And in that, like, we can't be everything. Right. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you are a neighborhood church and your sweet spot is that neighborhood, then be that, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? And your branding should sort of evoke that. If you are a city church or a church out in the burbs, then sort of be that. The hard thing is when we try to kind of be who we're not.
Yeah, and we're not, like, we're all in this together. Like, we're the church. Like, and it should be okay to have its nuances, but,
yeah. But that requires us to not be in competition with one another.
Exactly.
And
right.
That's tough. Yeah.
As we sit here, I just feel in my bones the tension of the church communications worker who is like, my church would never go for any of this. Like, yeah. I'm hired to communicate the events, and our logo is so bad that I don't even want to tell people that I work at that church because they've seen their logo. And it's like, they literally hired me to do communication, even design, but it's like, I can't touch the like 40-year-old logo or branding.
Mm. Is it because of like, it's a sacred cow or something?
Probably, yeah. And I feel like a lot of people in the church, staff or church attenders have connections with the logo and brand with maybe isn't necessary. I'll give an example. The church that I'm at, we went through a rebrand, and I tried really hard to make sure that the right people knew it was coming. But we also didn't want to make a big deal about it. Like, here's our new logo. Like, give input. Like, we weren't doing that. But, you know, I tried to make sure that when we announced it on the Sunday, that someone wouldn't find someone in the church and be like, did you know this was happening? And that person says no, but that person should have known. Mm-hmm. And so that included the elder board and our senior leaders. But there was a mix of communication, and some of the elders didn't know about it. Branding was rolled out. It was not pretty. I wonder, how do we encourage communication workers, communication directors who are like, I want to do this. I look at all the young city churches that, like, there's such a young, flexible church that their branding is spot on because there was no super invested people who care about the old logo, maybe more than they should care about it. Mm. And they're with this maybe this older church or just maybe this more complex church organization where they're like, I would love to just scrap it and give this really cool logo, but I don't even know where I would begin.
Do you encourage that communications workers to start, you know, laying out the process of we can do this and then having those interviews and talking to people? Or, you know, I think that I would start there, but then, you know, you've got to get buy-in from the senior leadership first, you know?
Yeah. I think we should have, you know, encourage them to have conversations about messaging and branding with people, just about logos, about branding, about what it means to for the people in your community to understand who your church is by the content that it puts out and the looks that it puts out. Just have those conversations. Because you'll find people, and even the older people in the community who just want the gospel to be shown to the young people in the community, to, you know, young families, and yet they're just a disconnect sometimes with, like, possibly the importance of branding. And I think maybe having those conversations are key.
It is, the conversations are so important, and I think bringing your community into it, that's something that I think churches forget too, is they're internal. So absolutely, number one, start with your leadership. Start with your pastor and go, what is the vision and the direction of this church? Who are we as a church? Who do we want to reach? What is our focus? Where do we go? But then being able to go into the community and say, who are we to you? Like, who do you know, who do you see us as? Because if we're over here going, well, we're a church that's, we have, you know, all ethnic diversity and we're this and that and blah, 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 and the church and the community says, well, all I see is a bunch of white people. Okay, something's off here. Like, what we're actually saying is, this is who we want to be. That's not who we are. And you changing a logo isn't going to make you who you want to be.
When a church is aspiring to be that, let's say they are a Korean church on the Korean side of town. I think about in Los Angeles, Koreatown, it has a lot of Koreans, but also has a lot of Hispanic people. And let's say there's a church that wants to integrate those two groups, but is primarily funded by, attended by, has a lot of roots in Korean culture. But they aspire to be more of an open door. How would you approach that if you don't, if you're not realistic about your future, but also understanding where you're at? You know what I'm saying? Well, what do you think?
I'm not going to say, like, I don't ever want to be that person that says fake it to make it, but you have to start it.
Right.
You have to begin somewhere. And so, you know, I think there's a part, like, if you're a Korean church, but you want to open your church up to the Hispanic community that is there, don't have a full Korean staff, a full Korean worship band, a full Korean, you know, this and that. Like, intentionally step outside of your comfort zone and say, we're going to invite somebody else in. We're going to make this an equal opportunity situation. We want you to come in and be a part of this. There's this great singer, and she's Hispanic, he's Hispanic. We're gonna get them in and part of this. And again, it's not faking it. It's not like, hey, just because we want you to come in here and be it. But no, be a part of it, call it out, call it what it is. We have a community of people and you wanna be a part of this. Let's bring you in and help you be a part of it. If people, you know, we say this about social media, we say this about your website. I'm gonna say, bottom line, you need to say it about your church. If people don't see themselves there, they're not going to come to your church.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, you need to immerse yourself in that community. Yeah. Like, you also can't just come in and say, like, all right, we're going to, like, plant a church here because we want to. Like, you know nothing about that community. You're not going to be accepted.
Like, get out.
Yeah. And so it's, like, all about going in and, like, actually getting to know the community and the people that you're wanting to reach. And that might take more time than anything, but again, like, the people are the most important thing. And so,
hey, we need to talk.